Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together around that name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great, mighty Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be our teacher. And we trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our hearts and unto our spirits. May each one of us not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers thereof. Hallelujah. Acting upon the word. Putting God's word into practice. For it's then that we become recipients of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's open our Bibles for a basis or background for our remarks to the 4th chapter of Proverbs. And then we'll open to the Acts of the Apostles. First, the 4th chapter of Proverbs, verses 20, 21, and 22. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health. My words are health to all their flesh. Praise the Lord. Now, we're looking particularly at the statement and using it for our theme, at the statement, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, what does that mean? That means listen to what God says. That means listen to what the Word of God says or has to say on the subject, particularly of healing and health, for instance. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So right at the moment, we're going through the Acts of the Apostles and just attending unto those words, inclining our ears, praise God, unto the sayings of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now then, in the ninth chapter of Acts, it's not a healing, but it still had to be accomplished through the laying on of hands. Now Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. You read here in the ninth chapter of Acts about his experience on the road to Damascus. And Luke is the writer of the Acts, and of course he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. In other words, he wasn't here, an eyewitness to this. And as he, third verse, as he, that's Saul and his company, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, what, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city. This shall be told thee what thou must do. And all the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. So the spiritual vision of Jesus was when he had his eyes shut. Now then, he saw no man. Now, the 11th chapter says, or the 10th verse of this same ninth chapter, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Not an apostle, not a prophet, not an evangelist, not a pastor or teacher. I think God put that right in there so as to help us to see that God, and also about Philip, who was a deacon to begin with, and God made an evangelist, that this isn't just for apostles to be used supernaturally. There was a certain disciple. Now, in our modern language, we'd say, in other words, there's a certain layman. He wasn't in the ministry, just a disciple. at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. That means the Lord appeared to him. He saw him in a vision, spoke to him. Well, he goes on and tells him about Saul and so on, and told him that he was to go lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. In fact, that Saul had seen a vision, seen a man named Ananias coming in. The 17th verse says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell, as it were, fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight. Now, Saul was not sick with blindness, or he wasn't afflicted with disease of the eyes. That's not sickness or disease. Notice what Paul said about it himself. Look over into the 22nd chapter of Acts. And here Paul gives his own account. You see, Luke's account is just whatever the Spirit of God wanted to emphasize. He just gave a inspired to write it. But I always like to get an eyewitness account, don't you? And actually, the person that's there ought to know more about it than anybody, the one that is involved. Now, Paul here is saying, very interesting. Why don't we just start with the very first verse of the chapter here, the 22nd verse, and get the full import here. Men and brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivered into prisons, both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass as I made my journey, and was come down to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. One little side thought here, when you persecute believers, you're persecuting Jesus. Need to be very careful. When you talk about believers, you're talking about Jesus. Whatever you do to believers, you do it unto him. Amen? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now notice that 11th verse. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, wasn't that he couldn't see because of he had a disease or sickness. You look up one of those TV lights right there just like I just did. You can't see nothing there for a few seconds. Well, that light was brighter than noonday sun. Boy, you... Amen. I could not see for the glory of that light. Being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwell there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. So you see, it wasn't a matter of him receiving a healing from sickness or disease, yet it's very closely associated. Because his sight had to be restored through the laying on of hands. Amen. I could not see for the glory of that light. Well, we looked at that because we wanted you to see that. Now then, in the 9th chapter of Acts, Notice the 32nd and 33rd and 34th verses. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Now, I want you to see something here now, though. I want to make an observation first before we go on. And that is that evidently God only used Peter's shadow one time. Because if he still used that way, he would have had them to bring the man out and get him out there in the daytime where his shadow had fallen on him. Wouldn't he? You see, there's some things that God will do that he may only do one time. I've been led by the Spirit of God to minister to folks for healing a certain way one time, never again. Those things are as the Spirit wills, not as we will. You don't want to set up a system then. Just because God used you one time along a certain line, that you set up a system, this is the way to do it. Now then, secondly, Peter said, Jesus unto Annas, and this man had been bedfast 8 years. Ah, that's a long time, isn't it? Think about that. Bedfast. 8 years. Can you think of any more hopeless and helpless situation? And I know I was bedfast 16 months. Boy, that's long enough for me. 8 years, though. And Peter said, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Now, that could be interpreted two different ways. And that is that anybody could just simply tell anyone really that, and you'd be telling the truth. Whatever your name is, Mary or John or Henry or Joe or Jim or Sally or Patsy or whatever your name is, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Now you see, Peter said that to this man. And Peter wrote, of course, those two epistles, you know, 1st and 2nd Peter, we have in the scripture. And in that first epistle, in the second chapter, 24th verse, Peter says the same thing. He said, who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, if we were healed by his stripes, if we were, then I was, and if I was, then I am. Present tense. Amen. See? Then you could tell them that because you're telling them the truth. You're telling them Scripture. How it can be also be true that he was inspired by the Spirit to say that. Now, I've had it to work both ways with me. I tell about sometimes, you know, when in 1943, when my wife and I went into a room with a lady that was on her deathbed. Her husband had put her through 3 different clinics. All of them said the same thing about her. They wouldn't even touch the case. She waited too late. Now, she had been under doctor's care, but in other words, he just didn't accept that doctor. He put her in an ambulance and carried her from city to city to the clinic, these different clinics. Didn't tell them, you know, they had her anywhere else. Just see what they could do. They'd all said the same thing. Nothing be done. She'll be dead in a matter of a few days. Well, now see, because we have, you have to realize here in the Acts of the Apostles, they didn't have any New Testament to read. And even the ministers, and they didn't have any New Testament to read. Now, Paul's well-versed in the Old Testament, of course. And they didn't have any Bible, even the Old Testament, they could read every day. Scrolls were read on the Sabbath day in the synagogues. But you didn't have anything in your home to read. You had to go by what you heard preached. And one thing about it, they had to depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen. A whole bunch of them had to depend on the Holy Ghost. And you know, we don't depend on the Holy Ghost as much as we think we do. And if we really had to, we'd have more supernatural results. Amen. Which we don't, we know so much now and so smart, you know, and advanced so. Bless our hearts. Amen. And we suffer, you know, the experience of our spirits. We suffer the experience of our spirits at the expense of our heads. I don't know whether you got that or not, but I never said that before, but it's good anyway. Amen. Amen. So, we went in, my wife and I and two other ladies, and because we have the New Testament in its entirety, written, inspired by the Holy Ghost, we know the Bible instructs all of us to lay hands on people. These signs are follow them that believe. They, believers, will lay hands on the sick. So we knelt by the bedside. I laid my hand on her forehead. My wife laid her hands on her body. These other two ladies are kneeling there around the bed close by. They didn't lay hands on them, praying. And right in the middle of my prayer, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, take your hand off of her. Get up and stand up. And say to her, the Lord told me to tell you, that means Jesus Christ told me to tell you, you're healed. Get up. So make a long story short, I did, he did, and she did. Amen. And so she rose up healed, praise God, from a deathbed. Then right on the other hand, right here in the state of Oklahoma, they brought this lady in that doctor said she'll never walk another step. 4 years, tied to her chair, and ordinarily, and it's scriptural to do that, I would lay my hands on people with a tangible anointing of healing power and minister. But the anointed had lifted, and so I just simply have to say, I'm not going to lie to you, I can't lay hands on you with a tangible anointing. But I can lay hands on you in faith. You can do that anytime. Any believer, of course. It's just as much good for any believer to do it, as well as me. And so if you can't come back tomorrow night, so they carried this woman that was tied to her chair for 4 years. The doctor said she'll never walk again. Well, how are you going to help her? See? Now, see, we've seen God move. If we're not careful, we wait for some word from God, and we've already got His word. Incline thine ear to my sayings. I mean, He may say something else or He may not. I go as much by what He don't say as by what He does say. And so, I just simply said to the woman, did you know you're healed? Oh, Emma, I said, you sure are. I'll just prove it to you by the Bible. And just read her this verse. Well, just laid it on her lap and have her to read it, 1 Peter 2:24. See, that's another way of saying, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And so she said, well, if we were healed, I was. I said, that's it. If I was, then I am. I said, that's it. That's what I want you to believe. And it wasn't very many minutes till she's just leaping and a hopping and a jumping all over the front of the church. Praise God. So it works both ways. I mean, if you're inspired by the Spirit of God, go ahead and tell somebody, John, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Henry, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Praise God. Or whatever their name is. If you're not inspired, read the Word of God. It's already inspired. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He maketh thee whole. Why? Because Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Now then, turn right on over to the 14th chapter of Acts. And this is the next recorded instance of healing in the Acts of the Apostles. And the thought I want you to get over, that I want to get over to you here, is the variety of methods. The variety of methods by which folks were healed. Now, we know that there on two or three occasions, as we read the scriptures, actually there are three records up till now, they just simply lumped them all together. Said by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders. And Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, did many signs and wonders. Now, I'm sure there was some healings involved there, but that's not specific. It just tells us about things happening. But in these where it is specific, so we'll know just what happened and how it happened, the first crippled man, lame from his mother's womb, was healed by faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus did it. The second, the crowd was healed there. I don't know how many of them, as many as his shadow fell on, by a manifestation of God's power. Supernatural man of visitation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Stephen, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Preached Christ unto them. And you see, the healings followed as the preaching of Christ. And many unclean spirits came out crying with a loud voice. Many that were sick of the palsy were healed. Many that were lame were healed. And here, as we pointed out, Peter just said, ain't as Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. It can work both ways. Now, here is, however, another method of healing in the Acts of the Apostles that always works. Then anybody can make it work. You may not have the unction, the anointing, so that your shadow will heal people. You may not feel inspired to say to anybody, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, rise and walk. But here's one method that always works. Now let's read it. 14th chapter of Acts. Now notice. Talking about the ministry now of Paul and Barnabas. They were aware of it. Notice that fifth verse says, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. That's to stone Paul and Barnabas. They were aware of it and fled. Now here's something that's interesting, little side thought. And that is that there's no use you standing around when danger approaching, let it overtake you if you can do something about it yourself. They were aware of it and fled. I believe Paul was a man of faith, don't you? Why didn't he just say, well, I'm going to believe God and bless God, command the devil to desist in his maneuvers? Well, in the first place, these people are devil-inspired, but yet right on the other hand, God himself does not exercise authority over the human will. If he did, he'd make everybody get saved today and we'd go into millennium tomorrow. And if they wanted to stone them, use them despitefully, they could do it. And so they had enough sense, bless God, to run. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. They were aware of it and fled. Where'd they go to? Unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth around about. Now what did they do there? In Lystra and Derbe and so on. And there they preached the gospel. Now, back up. We read the 5th, 6th, and 7th verse. But let's back up here. And start with the very first verse so we can get the full connection here of what happened and see something. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue, both of them, that is Paul and Barnabas, of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. That is, believed on Jesus. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. No, the devil didn't do it. I'm sure he helped them do it. Are you listening? But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Well, I don't know what all these were, but I'm sure there were some healings involved, but yet it doesn't tell us. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. See, now many people get the idea that if signs and wonders are on, that the whole city is going to turn to God. But they didn't. Some of them did and some of them didn't. Amen? God does use those things. Don't misunderstand me. But just because signs and wonders take place don't mean the whole city. This city didn't turn to God. These fellas had signs and wonders working in them and got run out of town. So don't feel too bad about it if you get run out of town. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now then, and so then, but the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe and so on. And there they preached the gospel. Now it singles out, and there's more than one instance or incident that happened, but I'm sure this one thing, the Holy Ghost had a purpose in singling this out for us. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. Very similar to that lame man at the gate called Beautiful, who had never walked. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. A man, a grown man. Now look at the ninth verse. The same, the cripple man, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, see, now there's two things here. First, they really, I guess, thought Paul healed that fella. Now notice this. Let's go on reading, and we're going to come back to that because I want you to hold that in your mind. They lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of the Lyconians, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker, Jupiter and Mercury, in other words. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. And they'd worship them as gods. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you." We're not any different than you are. Anybody else? Just human beings. "And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." They wanted to sacrifice unto them. Now, here is another thought. There is a sense in which they thought Paul had healed this man, so he must be a god. Yet, Paul didn't heal the man at all. The Bible said he had faith to be healed. He's healed on his own faith. And yet, right on the other hand, there is a sense in which Paul did do something. In other words, how did he get him healed? Now, you see, where we have missed it, in the church world I'm talking about as a whole, is you read that and you, man writes a little, here to my King James translation said, "Paul healeth a cripple." Back over there where we read that 19th chapter, or 9th chapter, about Peter going into the man who had been bedfast 8 years and said, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." Top of the page, man has put a note there and said, "Peter healeth anus." Well, I don't see how they got that Peter healed him when the Bible, when Peter said, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." He didn't say, "I make you whole." Peter makes you whole. He said, "Jesus Christ makes you whole." He heals you. And so then, you see, folks have missed what the Bible said, even good people on times, even saved people, by saying, well, you see, of course, the apostles could do that. When the last apostle died, all that ceased. But you see, right away, you can see the fallacy of their statement, because Philip wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an apostle. That's right. Amen. Never was an apostle. He's called in the 21st chapter an evangelist. Amen. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And they gave heed unto him, both seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. Secondly, there was a supernatural manifestation, though it isn't exactly called Paul wasn't blind because of sickness and disease, but from the glory of that light. But there was a supernatural manifestation both ways. A supernatural manifestation in that he could not see. A supernatural manifestation that opened his eyes. And Ananias wasn't an apostle. Said apostles could do things like that, you know. But the Holy Ghost saw fit, bless God, just to put right in the book where we can see that that Ananias, a layman, not an apostle. Remember, I was holding a meeting in a western state. In my prayer line, I called it a prayer line. I'd send folks to the altar to be saved. They'd pray with them there. But I'd put people in the line to be healed, lay hands on them for healing, because that's scripture, and lay hands on them to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost. Well, of course, then I would ask them when they came to me what they came for, to see whether they came for healing of the Holy Ghost, because you minister and you instruct them a little bit differently. So this person stepped up in place and I said, "What did you come for?" "Well," said, "I guess I came to receive that Holy Ghost business." Well, now you locate people two ways. A lot of times the Holy Ghost will give you revelation. You know right where they are. And you know whether you can help them or whether you can't. And if you can, how you can help them. Oh, yes, I've had the Holy Ghost to show me full gospel pastors, tongue talkers, divine healing believers. I've had the Lord supernatural to show me you can't help them. They'll never be healed. And I watched them over the period of 15 years and they never did get healed. Never. I laid hands on them. There's no telling how many times. Every healing evangelist in America, far as I knew of, and that was in the days of the voice of healing, when there's a lot of healing evangelists, laid hand on, never did get healed. Why would he show that to you? Well, so you wouldn't mess with him. He showed me how I could help the congregation that looked on and wondering why the pastor didn't get healed. They were helped and the pastor wasn't. Now, that's an extreme case, but it happens sometimes. He'll show you sometimes by revelation. There's some people you can't help. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. There are reasons why. I don't have time to go into them because some of the reasons are peculiar to that person. And then sometimes he shows you, I've had the Holy Ghost to show me, you know, why that person didn't get healed and then how to help them. And it doesn't mean you can always help them instantly, right on the spot. Sometimes it has to be a gradual process because their thinking has to be changed. Then right on the other hand, Holy Ghost, the majority of time, the big majority of times, will not show you a thing. How are you going to help people then? Well, you can locate them by what they say. You can locate them by what they say. You know where their faith is by what they say. How do I know that? I learned it from the Bible. I'm not that smart. See the fifth chapter of Mark. You know the story of the woman of the issue of blood. Mark 5:25-34. A certain woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, spent all of her living, nothing but it, rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, it shall be whole." Well, she's healed and all that. You step down to the 34th verse, and Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Well, put the 28th and the 34th verse together. For she said, and Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." So what she said was her faith speaking. See, you have to understand that even when you doubt, you still have faith. You're believing the doubts, just believing the wrong thing. "Will you be healed now as I lay hands on you?" "No, I don't believe it will." See, you still believe something. Doubting is believing the wrong thing, but it's still believing. So you locate people by what they say. You know whether they're believing right or wrong, and then you have to go to work on that. You don't always tell them what you're doing, because if you did, a lot of times they wouldn't listen to you. So you have to be as wise as an owl and harmless as a dove. Amen. Just not let them know everything. Amen. So you locate them by what they say. So this woman, when I said, what did you come for? She said, well, I guess I came for that Holy Ghost business. I know from what she said, she don't know a thing in the world about the Holy Ghost. Don't know a thing in the world about what the Bible said about the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He, the Father, will send you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Not a matter of it or it or that thing, it's Him. Praise God, a divine, supernatural personality. And so, I said, well, have you been born again? Are you a child of God? Well, she said, I think I'm just about as much saved as you or anybody else I know of. Now, you can locate a person pretty quick like that, can't you? You know they've come for argument. Amen? But see, it's right there in front of the whole church, you see. Everybody can hear over the microphone what's being said. And so then this lady asked me, said, are you an apostle? Well, I said, no, not that I know of. If I am, I don't know it. Well, what are you doing laying hands on people then to receive the Holy Ghost? She's going to try to expose me, see, there in front of my own crowd. Oh, I said, I see you. See, and I just played the rope out and let her hang herself right in front of everybody. Oh, I said, I see you. I got her located, you see. I don't tell her I got you located. I just play it on out. Oh, I said, I see you know your New Testament. Oh, yes, she said, we speak where the New Testament speaks and are silent where it's silent. I said, well, the apostles, now they could do that. They could lay hands on the sick and they'd get healed. They could lay hands on people and they'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. But when the last apostle died, then all that ceased. Oh, yes, she said, that's right. Yes, we speak where the New Testament speaks and are silent where it's silent. I said, the difference between me and you is that you claim to and lie about it, and I actually do it. I said, what about Ananias? She said, Ananias who? I said, Ananias in the 9th chapter of Acts. Was he an apostle? And I reached on the pulpit and got my Bible, opened it, and handed it to her. I said, read that verse. She read, there was a certain disciple in the church, Damascus, named in the city there, named Ananias. Then I said, read the 17th verse. She read, and Ananias entered in and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, that's the Ananias I'm talking about. Was he an apostle? She said, I didn't know that was in there. I said, well, it is, and he wasn't an apostle. How come God to use him? She handed my Bible back and started to walk off. I said, wait a minute, come back up here, come back here. You started it, I'm going to finish it. You wanted to know why I laid hands on people, to be healed and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I do it for the same reason Ananias did. Jesus appeared to me in a vision and instructed me to do so. See, I speak where the New Testament speaks. Amen. And she muttered, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. I said, you hang around, I'm liable to tell you something else is in there you didn't know. Amen. Thank God for the Word. I said, thank God for the Word. I said, thank God for the Word. Well, now she thought she was going to expose me, you know, right there in front of my crowd. But she got exposed. Praise God for the Word. Now, Paul healeth a cripple. Well, Paul didn't heal the man. The man had faith to be healed. We just got through reading that. Look at the latter part of that 9th verse. He had faith to be healed. Who had faith? The man did. Now, if you want to, as we run on reading here, it says, when the people saw what Paul had done, see, they didn't understand how he'd done it. See, we could do the same thing. Oh, yeah, but Paul was an apostle. No, this wasn't done because Paul was an apostle. This wasn't done because of gifts of the Spirit operating through Paul. This wasn't done because Paul was inspired to the Spirit to say to the crippled man, rise up and walk. No, the man had faith. Paul just perceived he had faith to be healed and said, stand upright on the feet, and the man acted his faith. The man was healed not on Paul's faith, not because Paul was an apostle. He was healed because he had faith. Now, where did he get faith? The first part of the verse said, the same heard man Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. He got faith to be healed by hearing Paul speak. Well, what did Paul speak? If we can find out what he spoke, if we can speak the same thing, then we can get faith into people to be healed. Anybody can do it. Seventh verse. And there refers to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and the region that rise round about. And there, in Lystra, they preached the gospel. The gospel. Amen. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel.
Amen.
Everybody say the gospel.
The gospel.
Say it again.
The gospel.
Say it again.
The gospel.
Well, now, is the healing of the body? This man's body was healed because he is a cripple, lame, cripple, from his mother's womb, never had walked. Is healing, does it have anything to do with the gospel? Well, yeah, but healing's been done away with. Well, if it has, the gospel's been done away with then. Oh, that old worn out theory of man. You know what a theory is, don't you? It's a supposition established upon the ignorance of the subject under discussion. That old worn out theory, healing's been done away with. The last apostle died, all that ceased. No, if the gospel is preached, then folks can get faith to be healed today just as much as they could then. But alas, alas, instead of the gospel being preached, only portions of it are preached. Preach means to proclaim or to tell. Only portions of it are proclaimed. Now let me ask you this question. There's no doubt about it. I mean, nobody will argue with that point. I mean, if you can read, you have to accept the fact that the man himself, the crippled man, had faith to be healed. He is healed on his own faith, wasn't he?
Yes.
Wasn't he?
Yes.
Could he have gotten faith to be healed of a lifelong cripple condition by just hearing, and don't misunderstand me, we're not belittling it, just because of that, but by just hearing that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures?
No.
No. He could have got faith to receive remission of sins. And many do by hearing that. But is that the gospel? No, it's just a part of the gospel. Now don't misunderstand me, it's an important part. All of it's important. I don't believe there's anything about the gospel that's unimportant. Amen. Amen. You see, you get faith by hearing. Faith for what? Whatever it is. Whatever it is, you get faith for that by hearing. Are you listening?
Amen.
Whatever it is, you get faith for. Now, for instance, faith for salvation. That is, to be born again. Salvation includes healing also, you understand that whole thing. But just to be born again or receive remission of sins, you get faith for that by hearing. We know that from what Paul said in Romans. Because he said there in Romans 9 and 10, 10th chapter, 9, 10th verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man breathes the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Went on to say, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile, that God is rich in mercy toward all and all that call upon him. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard?
Amen. That's right.
And you go back and read a proof text of that in the 10th and 11th chapters of the Acts of the Apostles about Cornelius, a Greek, a Jewish proselyte who was serving God in the religion of the Jews, you know, and walking all the light he had. And his prayer and his alms came up as a memorial before God. He hadn't heard about Jesus, didn't know that he'd come and died. And an angel appeared to him. And the angel couldn't tell him how to be saved. Angels cannot tell people how to be saved. God's ordained that men should preach the gospel. And so the angel couldn't tell him how to be saved, but he could tell him where to get somebody. And he said, you go to Joppa and inquire in the house of Simon the Tanner for one Simon Peter. And look at Acts 11th chapter. And what is it, about the 14th verse somewhere down there, it said, who, that means Peter, when he is come, will tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. Men are saved by hearing words. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Men are filled with the Holy Ghost by hearing words. Why? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Men get answers to prayer by hearing words. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God. God said, but my God shall supply all of his need, according to his riches in your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Or find any other scripture that covers whatever you're praying about. Now, when you get beyond the word of God, you're going to have to hear. And if you haven't heard from heaven, you won't have faith for it. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Now you see, whatever God asks you to do, he'll give you faith to do it. That's where special faith comes in. But it's also true, whatever he calls you to do, he'll give you faith to do it. If he calls you to preach, he'll give you faith to preach. Call you to the ministry. Amen. Now that's the reason he'll give you special faith. You see, in the Great Commission, there is healing for the sick. They lay hands on the sick. Doesn't say a word in the world about them raising the dead. Now Jesus did under his ministry raise the dead. And the apostles, you've got one or two cases of them doing that. But that's not part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Number one, to cast out devil. Number two, to speak a new tongue. Number three, to take up servant. Number four, if they drink any deadly thing and not hurt them. Number five, they'll lay hands on the sick and shall recover. But then, you see, it takes special faith. Or a manifestation of what we call the gift of faith. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Like Smith Wigglesworth said, first person raised from the dead under his ministry. Well, he said, I penetrated heaven with my faith, what faith he had. But there was another faith came down from heaven that took hold of my spirit. And when I prayed with my own faith, the answer was no. But when I prayed with this faith, it wouldn't take a no for an answer. And the person was raised up.
Amen.
Praise God. See, God gave him special faith because he heard from heaven. Now, once in a while, I'll have a manifestation of special faith. You know, you don't manifest these as you will. The Bible said the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. Are you following? Like I mentioned up there at Philadelphia, there sat four ladies in a wheelchair. Well, the Spirit of God said to me. Now, you get one of these ladies, you point to her and you tell her that when you point to her, the Holy Ghost will come on. The power of God will come on. Get up and walk out of the chair. See, I heard from heaven. He gave me faith to do that. She walked out of the chair. What about the other three? I can't minister that way. I don't have any word. I haven't heard anything. I'll have to teach them the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Lay hands on them in faith. Are you following me? And so, faith comes by hearing. All right, this man's got faith himself. He's healed on his own faith, not Paul's faith, not the apostle's faith, not Barnabas' faith. The latter part of the ninth verse, look at it for yourself. He had faith. To what? To be healed. Where did he get it? Look at the statement of the first part of the verse. The same, that's the man, the crippled man, heard Paul do what?
Speak.
See, faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Heard Paul speak. What did Paul speak? Seventh verse said the gospel. Somebody asked one minister, said, do you all pray for the sick in your church? You preach healing? No, we just preach the gospel. Without thinking, I said, ha, 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 ha. Why, he no more preached the gospel than I landed on Mars 10 minutes ago. Now, he may preach part of it. Healing, I have no apologies to make. I feel like I'm in good company with the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I just like them a whole lot better than I do theologians.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Healing for the physical body is part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not so, tear that page out of your Bible. And you start tearing pages out and they'll all come out. And you'll wind up like the little girl did going to Sunday school one Sunday morning. She had a Sunday school book in the backs of her Bible under her arm. And the pastor was shaking hands with folks that came in. And he thought, you know, it was loose and she had lost it out. He said, honey, did you notice you've just got the backs of your Bible there? You've lost the contents, the inward part. Oh, no. She said, every time you said something was for me, I tore that page out. And said, they're all gone. I expect to get rid of the covers this morning. Now, that's funny. But, friends, there's a lot of truth to that. Are you listening to me? And you start tearing pages out, and the rest of them just automatically come out, you know.
That's right.
Amen. No. If healing for our physical bodies is not a part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then tear that page out. But thanks be unto God, healing is a part and parcel of the gospel. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Could that crippled man have received healing if he had heard Paul speak? He heard him speak. God said the same heard Paul speak. But if he had heard Paul say, now God does heal sometimes if it's his will. Would he have had faith to be healed? No, he'd had faith to believe I'm one of them that is not as well to heal. Because that's exactly what he'd have believed. Wouldn't he? Because the devil would have accommodated him. And he'd went home and said, well, you know, yeah, God does heal sometimes, all right, but it's not his will to heal everybody. Or would he have received faith, I'm talking about faith to be healed, would he have received faith because he's got faith to be healed? He received it, he got it, where did he get it, and what he heard? Now, would he have received faith to be healed by hearing? Now, God does heal all right if it's his will. No, he'd have got faith to believe it's not his will to heal me.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll pray, and if it's God's will, he'll heal you, and if it's not, he won't. No, he wouldn't have gotten faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed. Everybody say it. He had faith to be healed. Say it again.
He had faith to be healed.
Say it again.
He had faith to be healed.
Amen. Where'd he get it? Say the same the man heard Paul speak.
The man heard Paul speak.
Say it again. The man heard Paul speak. He got faith from what he heard. Then he must have heard. Paul must have preached that not only did Jesus die for our sins according to the scriptures and was raised again for our justification, but he must have, and he took his text from the Old Testament, his only Bible they had then. He must have also quoted Isaiah where he said, as is recorded in Matthew, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And what he bore, you need not bear. And because he bore them, I'm free. And so Paul perceived. Now, he didn't have a revelation. See, the Holy Ghost will bring you a revelation. There ought to be a certain amount of spiritual perception about all of us. It ought to be easy to perceive. See, I can perceive very readily when folks get a hold of the truth. You just be teaching away. If you just look the crowd over, suddenly somebody's face will light up like a neon sign in the dark. You know they got it.
Yeah.
Other folks sitting there sort of puzzled, perplexed. You know they didn't. I perceived. Some of them will look at you like a cow at a new gate. Even chew their cud while they're doing it. It's easy to perceive they didn't get a thing. Some of them, while you're teaching the word, will sit there and thumb through a song book. We don't have any here for them to thumb through. But sometimes they'll thumb through something else. You know they're not getting anything. That's easily perceived. Some folks will sit there and talk to one another. You can pretty well perceive they didn't get anything. On and on. Amen. Some folks, you look the crowd. I'm not talking about this crowd, you understand. I'm talking about crowds I have preached to. They'll sit there and go to sleep while you're preaching. It's easy to perceive they didn't get anything. Amen. Very easy to perceive that, isn't it? Paul, notice what it said. Steadfastly beholding him. Now he's speaking, he's got his eye on him. See, I got that ball, that's the reason I get down here close where I can get my eye on you. Look you over good. If it's not getting into you, bless God, I can tell it. I just go over it again. Just keep hammering. Just keep going over the same thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Paul steadfastly beholding him. Steadfastly beholding him. Isn't that what it said?
Yes.
That means looking at him. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Steadfastly beholding him. I mean, he got his eye on him all the time he's preaching, that cripple guy. He wants to get that over to him. He wants to see whether he's getting it or not. And he perceived he's getting that, man.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. Said, stand upright. Up he jumped. Up he jumped.
That's right.
Glory, glory, glory. Somebody said, I wish I'd get that to work for me. Well, it don't work by wishing, so forget it.
Amen.
He had faith.
Yes.
He had what?
Faith.
Faith for what?
Be healed.
Faith for an airplane? No, they didn't even have airplanes in. Some people about that stupid trying to believe something's not even in force yet. Haven't even discovered yet. Amen. Yeah, he had faith for what? A new automobile? No, they didn't have automobiles then. See, some folks, we won't get on all out beyond, you know, somewhere else out yonder. I'm believing for, you know, way out yonder somewhere. Well, forget that and get down here, and this is where you're living. This is what you need here. Eternity will take care of itself when you get over there. Don't have to bother about that. Amen?
Amen.
Faith for what?
To be healed.
He had faith for what?
To be healed.
To be healed. Hallelujah.
Yes.
How did he get it? Where did he get it?
Heard Paul speak.
By hearing.
Yes.
Paul speak. What did Paul speak?
Gospel.
The gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
It worked for you?
Yes.
You ever seen anybody healed that way? Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean incurable diseases. I can tell you about a number of testimonies. I never laid a hand on them. I never touched them. I never prayed for them. In fact, I didn't even know it was in a strange city. Didn't even know they had anything wrong with them. But then the pastor said to me, Brother Hagin, because on Sunday morning he asked me if I'd preach for him. I said, yeah, I'll preach. And we had just, you know, preaching every night, and we didn't take Saturday off. And so the auditorium's full. And they opened up some side doors, like over here to the side over there, those doors will open up. And there's another room in there. And it was full. And the pastor whispered to me while they were, you know, we sitting up here on the platform, morning service, and the song leaders leading congregational singing, and the choir is all back here in place. They're going to have a choir song after a while. And so he said to me, but they can see those folks there. I said, now, actually, I've been pastor here. And he told me how long, I think 8 years or something. I guess first time we ever had an overflow crowd. We've had the building pretty well full. But he said, 43 of those people, now there's more than that back there. But 43 of those people there came as a result of this young man, and he began to tell me about this young man had an incurable condition. And the doctor said, young married man, only 23 years old, and he didn't discover it till he married and he's 21, till after he's married. And the local doctors and all, they just don't cure for him. I mean, he'll be dead in a matter of just a little while. And so he got out where he couldn't work, and so he went to, got nowhere to go, went and lived with his dad-in-law, his mother-in-law, see? His little wife, and said he heard you that very first time. and just heard that one time and believed it. I never prayed for him. And went right back to the same doctor on every test. In fact, they wanted to come into the clinic and kept him 5 days. They couldn't find a trace of anything. It's all gone. Everyone had disappeared. And so he said his mother-in-law and his dad-in-law and 43 people of his in-laws and outlaws and all of them, you know. I mean, they come and want to join the church here. They said, now, some of them already believers, some of them weren't. Now, then they got saved. And said, we don't know a thing. We see healings right now. We sort of breathe a little bit that way. Anyway, we don't know anything about that Holy Ghost business, but we'll just accept whatever you say about it, and we're all candidates to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And that one fella, I never prayed for him. The pastor never prayed for him. He didn't know him. I didn't know him. Lived in that same town. The pastor don't know everybody in town. Sure not. See? But he came out to the services. He heard one sermon. Now, he'd come afterwards, you see. But he heard one sermon. And faith came. Because he heard. He attended unto my words. He didn't sit there and argue and say, well, now, I don't believe that. Now, if I ever get healed, I'll believe it. Yeah, if I ever do. No. No, he inclined his ears to God's sayings and said, I claim that. It's mine. Mine. He had to go back every so many days anyway for certain shots and treatment. And when he went back, the doctor began to check him. He said, you know, could you come in, you know. So they kept him several days there and run all the tests on him. Couldn't find a trace of it. Hallelujah. Couldn't find a trace of it. Every test they run's negative. Hallelujah. Wouldn't believe they said he ever had it if they didn't have all the other proof to prove it. Completely healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By doing what? Hearing. Yes. Hearing. Hearing? I've been teaching in the morning class sometime in churches. Now, you understand you have to be there a long time usually for this to happen and not change crowds. Because I'd go 3, 4, 5, 6. I'd tell, and 7, 8, 9 weeks in one place. And I'd tell people sometimes that we're getting the healing line, come to the day service if you can. And don't come down in the line. And I'm just teaching away one morning. I've had this happen more than once. And you look back there suddenly, and suddenly their face just lights up. Their eyes light up. See, the entrance of His words giveth light. Yes, yes. Giveth light. Yes. You can't get light inside you. Don't show up on the outside. Yes. And I've just stopped right then and said to them, that's it, you've got it. And they rose up healed right then. I never prayed for them. I'd already laid hands on them 2 or 3 times, see. But see, by hearing. Glory to God. I've had people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I was holding a meeting in church down in South Texas, I remember. And right in the middle of my sermon one night, there were some ladies, beautiful ladies, just well-dressed, you know, aristocrat-looking ladies, right on the front pew, just right in the middle of my sermon, just broke out speaking in other tongues. Well, I stopped for a minute. I didn't know. Maybe there's members there of this full gospel church or something, you see. And so I noticed everybody else picked up on it, began to praise God and shout, and the pastor slipped up there by me because he's sitting on the platform, and he whispered and said, Brother Hagin, said, those folks are not Pentecostal. Those two ladies belong to First Presbyterian Church. One of them came from one of the richest families in town, most wealthy family in the city. The other one, I think, was a college professor. And they got the baptism right in the middle. See, just believe while I was preaching. While Peter yet spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. The Holy Ghost fell on them. Glory to God. That kind of divine interruption's all right. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, how'd they get faith? Well, then folks run up there from that same church, full gospel church, and said, well, now, I don't understand that those two ladies, Presbyterian ladies, you know, got filled with the Holy Ghost right in the middle of the meeting. I've been seeking for years. Why won't God baptize me? Well, you won't ask them, why won't you hear? See, why won't you? You're not hearing. One fellow, bless his heart. We Pentecostal folk, you know, they used to come around the altar. We don't have room anymore, so many of us. Close every service nearly with prayer. And this fellow in the altar every night, you know. I'd have a laying on a hand service in a smaller church just twice a week, Tuesday and Friday. But he is there in the altar every night. Well, I got down there to instruct him, and he stopped, you know. In fact, he was assistant superintendent. In other words, only one man above him over the whole oil field of his company. Just a very high job, high position. In those days, East Texas oil field was really booming, you know. And he's assistant superintendent over the whole field for his particular company. And so, you know, he's a man of education and a man of talent, man of executive ability. And he looked, you know, man, you can see he's dressed beyond everybody. I mean, you know. And he'd take his handkerchief every night and spread it. Had a rug down, but he spread that rug down and then kneel on the handkerchief and lift his hands and say, "Now, Lord," said, "when you get ready, I am." And just wait. And I got down there to instruct him. And he opened and I said, "Now, you can't tell me one thing. I've been tarrying for 13 years. You can't tell me one thing about tarrying." I said, "Brother, I don't want to tell you anything about tarrying. I want to tell you how to receive."
Yes, amen.
"I'm not interested in you tarrying.
No.
I'm interested in you receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the infilling of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
"Well, you can't tell me." I said, "Get up and get out of this altar right now." Wasn't my church, but I told him. I said, "Get up and get out of here. Now, don't let me catch you in this altar anymore during this meeting. If I catch you down here, I'm going to run you out." Well, he got mad as fire at me. Got up, tucked his handkerchief in his pocket, and went and sat down. Grown man. Head of an oil company, almost over. Sulking like some kid. Big baby. And his wife, two nights later, came up and said, Brother Hagin, said, "That was my husband the other night. You run out of the altar," said, "he won't come back. Would you pray for him?" I said, "No, I'm not going to pray for him. He needs to do his own praying." Well, said, "He's mad," said, "he's not coming back. Long as you're here." I said, "That's all right. Just leave him alone. God will work on him." Showed up. A night or two later, he showed up. Said, "Well, I'm ready to listen." Very humble about it. Didn't take him long at all. See? When he's ready to attend to what God said.
Yes.
When he was ready to incline his ear to God said. Now, I said that to you to show you the same things about healing.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, let's go on. We got hung up there for quite a while, but it's real good, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Every bit of it's good. Let's look on over into the 15th chapter of Acts. And we see in the 4th verse, "And when they were come to Jerusalem," now this is Paul and Barnabas, and this is after their trip. You see, we just read a little bit of what happened on their missionary trip, this first one, what happened at Lystra, that man healed. In other words, that's the only one that the Bible goes into detail to describe for you. But now notice this 4th verse of the 15th chapter. "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them." Well, what had he done? All right, look at the 12th verse. "Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Now, there's two things to notice here. They declared unto the brethren in the church of Jerusalem the signs and wonders and the great things that the Lord had done by them. Well, we don't have any record of any rest of them except this one. I would take it for granted then that most of them were wrought like this. By them just preaching the gospel. And people getting faith. Amen? Now then, here's another side to it. It's scriptural then to declare what miracles and wonders God has wrought by you or by them or by who. Amen? "Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of these miracles and wonders were in this area of healing. Probably some things happened in other areas. But right on the other hand, I'm sure that they were in this area, most of them, many of them, because the Bible singles out, though, just the one. That's strange, isn't it? Holy Ghost through St. Luke just singles out this one instance, one incident of this one lame man being healed by hearing the gospel preached, and doesn't record into the rest of them. Yet they were miracles and wonders that God wrought among the Gentiles by them. Amen? Yet the Holy Ghost, when he inspired Luke to write, only singled out the one instance. Or the one incident. And why do you suppose he did that? So as to let us know, praise God, that the same thing will work for our day. Otherwise, folks might have said, well, yeah, Barnabas and Saul, though they were specially called, they were called to be apostles to the Gentiles, so God would work signs and wonders by them. Then again, he would record this so as to let us know how God wrought those signs and wonders by them. And he wrought those signs and wonders by them preaching the gospel. That sort of reminds me, and hold your place there because we're going to come back to it. That sort of reminds me of that 16th chapter of Mark. That would fit right in here real good, wouldn't it? Jesus, after his resurrection, you remember, said, go ye into all the world, 15th verse, and preach the gospel. That's the first thing you do now. You put that first. Go into all the world. Where? All the world. And do what?
Preach
the gospel to every creature. How many of them?
Every
or all, in other words. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and did what? Preached. Where?
Everywhere.
The Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following. And they went everywhere and preached. Amen. What did they preach? Well, he said, preach the gospel. What was Paul preaching down there in the 14th chapter of Acts? The gospel. The gospel. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. See, if you ever find out how the Lord works, you get him to work with you. And he will work with you. And the way he works with you is by you putting the word first. Preach the word. He'll confirm the word with signs following. Now, I may mention this sometimes in the days of the Voice of Healing. There were a number of we ministers that was in the Voice of Healing. Use that magazine as a medium advertisement. And the Lord had me to say, in fact, he sent me to one young man particularly, twice. Because you see, he had gifts of the Spirit, word knowledge, gifts of healing operating through him. But the Lord said to me, you go tell him you can't build a ministry on spiritual gifts. See, the spiritual gifts ought to be second place. Develop your preaching ministry. Because see, if that's not an operation, then he tried to operate something. See, it's the most dangerous thing in the world for you to try to operate in the Spirit or spiritual gifts when there's no anointing there. You throw yourself wide open to occult powers. The devil accommodates you. And so what the Lord told me, said, you tell him that unless he develops his preaching ministry, he's going to wind up on the spiritual junk heap. And that's exactly what he did, is wound up on the spiritual junk heap. Well, what's a spiritual junk heap? You know what the junkyard is out there? That's where they discard. Wreck cars. In other words, you're going to make a wreck of his ministry. You're going to wind up, disapproved. Amen. Now, I said to those brethren in 1954 in Philadelphia, at a closed meeting, just we ministered, I said, when all you fellows are gone, I'll still be out there. Well, some of them are limited, but I don't know any of them that's here at least is full-time except me. Some of them are part-time, but practically all of them are gone. Well, they looked at me in amazement and said, why? I said, I'm building on the word, you're building on spiritual gifts. I believe in spiritual gifts, but you can't put spiritual gifts first. You have to put the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God first and those other things second. The Lord working with them, confirming what? The Word with signs following. Confirming the Word with signs following. Amen. I was reading recently about a minister that God uses in a great way. And he took a very dim view at first of this charismatic move, but he finally saw it and got filled with the Holy Ghost and so on and so forth, and then God began to use him. But he said, when I saw what the Bible really said, because he wasn't raised up to believe that way, on healing and so on, I started preaching that in my church. He said, the more I preach it, the less happened. I mean, just nothing happened. Nobody getting healed. Now, before, he had had some gifts of the Spirit operating through him, not necessarily in his church, but when he'd go out on the meetings and he'd have word of knowledge and gifts of healing operate through him, you see. But didn't even have much of that operating in his church, pastor. But he said, I just kept preaching the Word because I knew it was right. As you read that, I thought how much that paralleled my own experience. Way back in the 40s. I started 1943, church I was praying. I started a healing service every Saturday night. We had Saturday night service, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. So Saturday night, that's healing night. I preach on that subject. I'll be honest with you, I just kept preaching, and nothing happened. I mean, it's just like you're shooting down a dead end street, you know, or a dead end alley, you know, no outlet, no way out, nothing happened. But see, I knew it was right. See, you've got to be convinced. Amen, that the Word's right. You know, you don't quit preaching salvation because somebody didn't get saved. You go right on, maybe you was in a meeting, not a word, and got saved. You go right to the next meeting and start preaching the same gospel. Amen.
Amen.
And so after about 6 months, though, folks started getting healed. And then, that's during the war, you know, World War II, and then people, you know, gasoline's rationed, so travel was restricted. But people started coming to get into some of those services from several counties around. That'd be like coming from several states around nowadays. See, and I just stayed with it. I mean, when it looked like nothing happened. In fact, the devil kept telling me, said, boy, I believe I'd stop that if I was you. I mean, nothing's happened. Nothing. Well, I know it's right. I know it's right. Praise God. And so I just stayed with it. No, stay with the Word.
Amen.
Stay with the Word. The Lord working with them, confirming the Word. Now, a lot of times there's nothing for him to confirm. I'm talking about signs following. Now you see, people preach what we call a salvation message, a new birth, and the Lord confirms that, people get born again. But that's not even the signs that he said would follow. Now he did say, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. But he didn't call that a sign. Amen? And he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said, and these signs shall follow them to believe. My name, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, they'll not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and shall recover. And so then they went forth everywhere preaching. The Lord working with them, confirming the Word. Confirming the Word. Everybody say confirming the Word. Now, a lot of times, if you're not much happening, if you just check up and see what you're preaching, well, you can find out, really. Why? Because he confirms his Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He confirms his Word. Now, let's go on now. Go on over to the 19th chapter of Acts. And we see another. The Bible said, and God, 19th chapter of Acts, 11, 12 verses, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, there's nothing special about diseases departing from them. That'd already happened. There's nothing special about evil spirits going out of them. That already happened. Even under the ministry of Paul, you know. But
The special part is the way, the method by which it happened. This time, and we don't have any record of it happened before, handkerchiefs or aprons that Paul evidently had laid his hands on. I don't know whether he prayed over them or what, but the scripture just said God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body, well, your hands are a part of your body. Evidently, he laid his hands, or handled at least, these cloths or aprons, and then they were brought unto the sick, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. Well, now then, that would just simply signify this, that God is still in the special business. He puts on specials sometimes. I said he puts on specials sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. Does things in a special way. Now, why does he do that? He does that for signs. He's still in the sign business. Now, what do you mean signs? Well, a sign, you know, is it's a sign of supernatural presence. Manifestation. You know, the devil does some things that's supernatural. You see him in the Old Testament doing that. Remember there when Aaron threw down his rod, Egyptians, those sorcerers and magicians threw down their rods, they became serpents too. And really, they stayed with him for about the first three that he did. Amen. But you know, Aaron's serpents swallowed the rest of them up. So if the devil does move, it don't bother us. We just swallow him up and go on. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody always gets afraid. Well, no, he's getting afraid. Amen. Just swallow him up. Amen. Go right on. Because he can't stay with God. That's a sense about that. Amen. And so God will do some things a lot of times. Remember, I was preaching in West Texas one time. And so one Sunday night, the Lord spoke to me, and he you won't have as much of that a lot of times because they don't need it in church meetings as you will out in other meetings. See, that's where they really belong. See, all the places these folks were preaching here, nobody ever preached there before. These folks never had heard. They weren't having a church meeting or a church revival. I used to wonder about that till the Lord showed, because I found out you get in certain kind of meetings, you just have all kinds of miraculous things happen. You get in church meetings and have a little sprinkling of it, but not much. But I remember one Sunday night, we'd lay hands on people, because laying on hands is a Bible doctrine, New Testament doctrine. It belongs to the whole church. So we'd lay hands on the sick and we'd see people heal. But then one Sunday night, you see, the Lord wanted to do something a little bit more spectacular. Because he wanted, and on Sunday night you had more of a fantasy type service, and wanted to help these folks. And so the Lord spoke to me and pointed a certain gentleman out to me and said, now that man has a hernia or a rupture. And so I knew what else to do, so I had him to stand up, and I said, Lord, show me you have a rupture, a hernia. Your right side, he said, yeah, that's right. I said, well, come down here. So he came down, and I said, I got three men to examine him. You feel that? Yeah. Well, I said, I'm not going to touch him, say anything to him. He's going to stand here and speak to him, and that's going to disappear. And I spoke to him, commanded to wither and die. Then I had these fellows to examine him. They couldn't find it. Well, it had disappeared. And then the Lord said to me, I pointed a leader out, and I said, sister, the Lord shows me that you have a knot or a growth in your right breast as large as an egg. That's pretty good size, you know. And you're fearful that it's cancer. You really don't know because you haven't been to the doctor. Is that right? Yes, yeah, she said, that's right. I said, well, you come down here. So she came down, and so I had three ladies to come and examine her breast carefully. Yeah, they said, it's there. Well, I just spoke to it, and then it disappeared, you see. They couldn't find it. They said, yeah, it's gone. Well, then the Lord said to me, now, some people say, well, we didn't see anything. Now, they got three witnesses. The Bible said to them out two or three witnesses. So he said to me, here was a gentleman, the pastor had already told me, said, I tell you, I believe he's the most outstanding Christian in this church and church secretary. But he's never been baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Fine gentleman. And it had so happened that a year ahead of time, you know, with the business he's with, the company he works for, they had to turn in their vacation period a year ahead of time. So he had turned his vacation, so his vacation period fell right, you know, and he's gone. We ran the meeting 3 weeks. He's gone the first 2 weeks. And this is a Sunday night, you know, begins the last week. And he just got back in. This is first service. He hadn't heard me teach, hadn't heard me preach, didn't know I laid hands on people and they got the Holy Ghost or anything. The Lord said to me, now everybody in the church knows, you know, he doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And here's something that everybody can see. Now as a sign, you do this. So I pointed to this man because the pastor had introduced me. He was back in the, when we came through a back door because they were talking about the finances of the church. He's the treasurer, secretary of treasurer of the church, see. And the pastor said, Brother Egan, this is Brother So-and-so. And I met him, see. And he had told me about the man head time and saying, I hope he gets back in vacation time. Maybe he'll get filled with the Spirit. Now the Lord tells me, he said, make him an example. I wish the Lord would tell me more often. I'd like to make some of you as an example. But he don't do that, see. And so I said to this man, he's sitting right over here, about the second pew from the front. I said to him, stand up, brother. So he stood up, you know. And I said, now, I know this because the pastor told me. And I met you the only time I've ever seen you, right back there with the pastor. And I just shook hands with you and went right on. But I said, you're a member here of this church, and everybody knows that. And but you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, sought and tarried and waited, never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? He said, that's right. Well, I said, now here's something that everybody can see. Now you can see this. This will register on your physical senses. I said, watch. And I just pointed to him and said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he just blurted out in other tongues instantly. He just started talking in tongues instantly. Instantly. Didn't give him any instruction. Now others, you have to give him instruction before you lay hands on him, you see, and so on. No instruction at all. God said, just make him an example. Let everybody see that there's a power that's working here. Let's see, a sign. Amen. Well, that's sort of like this here. God wrought special miracles. Thank God he does. I said, thank God he does. Amen. Now, like I said, I wish that God, you know, but you can't do it yourself because if you could, you'd already done it. You'd just go around pointing everybody to start talking in tongues if it's you. That's the reason he don't give you that ability because you'd get things messed up. Amen. But as the Spirit wills and the manifestation comes... Now, you know, you have people. I have people all the time in the healing line because I go in meetings all the time, particularly in the summertime, constantly, and then during school year or some. And you have people, you can tell by looking at them when they come down there. You know. Well, let's see you do it to me. You know, and you'll even see them brace themselves. They're going to be sure they don't fall. Well, you just might as well touch them and go on. They ain't going to get nothing anyway. Jesus said if they'll believe it and receive it.
Yes. Yes.
See? Well, they don't do either one. They don't believe it, and sure, they're not coming to receive it. They're coming to resist it.
That's right.
See? And then a lot of other folks, and you'll run into that more with Pentecostals than you will anybody. You know, I could tell them, I don't do it. That's the reason I laugh sometimes. You know, most of the time, as I touch people, I can tell you exactly what they're thinking. I'd say 99% of the time. I can tell you. I'm not reading your mind either. I get it in my spirit. Biggest majority of the time. I don't tell folks. Well, why don't you tell them? Most of the time wouldn't do any good anyway. And a lot of folks said, you know exactly what they're thinking. Well, now if the Lord healed me, I'd believe it and I'd accept it. And there's more Pentecostal people who think that way than any other bunch I know of. You know, if the Lord did it all right, well, then I'd believe it. But until he does, you're not going to get me to believe anything. Well, instead of those folks falling under the power, you know, you almost feel like sometimes just knocking them under the power. See, and you didn't know that, you'd find out I'm just as human as you are. Amen. Dear Lord, they're not going to get anything. Why, you could lay hands on people like that, you wore every hair off the top of the head. And all they'd get out of it would be a bald head. And once in a while, I mean, there's only one time. I just wish, Lord, some of these folks that come here, you know, and they'll brace themselves, you know. You almost can read their mind. Well, I mean, if you just look at the face, if you've got very much perception at all, you know, you can almost see what they're thinking. Well, let's see you do it to me. Just brace themselves. And you don't say, God, knock them down. Just. And so,
One time the Lord has allowed me. I wished he would more. I wished he would more. But I'm not running. I'm not the head of the church. Aren't you glad? And thank God you are not. Amen. No, you're not the head. And I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is.
Amen.
The head's supposed to run the body.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, and if he don't say so, you're just wasting your time. Amen. But I very often wondered and wished, you know, Lord, if you could. And so I remember we got into one meeting and as a fellow came, bless his heart, he braced himself. I mean, he got set. You got down there to him, you know, and at first, you see, you ministered to it. In fact, he said to me something like this. Well, let's see you do it to me. Now, that may not be word for word, but it's right close to it. Well, I just started on by and wasn't even going to pray for him. And the Lord said to me, zap it to him. And so I just back to him and laid my hand on his head and said, Lord, zap it to him. And the power of God knocked him flat. I mean, brother, you couldn't have knocked a fellow any flatter than you could with a baseball bat. And you know what? He really made a believer out of him. Boy, but that's only one time the Lord's let me do that. I wish more often he'd say that. But it don't do me any good to say zap it to him because I'm not the one doing the zapping. But when he says zap it, amen. And that's the only time he said it. Once in all these years. Well, why don't you pray and try to get him to? And that's not my business. Now, if I had any scripture for that, I could pray and believe for him, but I don't have any scripture for that. I'll have to leave that one with him. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. How come us to get off on? Oh, yeah. And God wrought special miracles. He does do special things sometimes. Amen. As he wills, not as we will. Everybody say that out loud. As he wills, not as we will.